This looks like a clinic on how not to do things on the baseball field.
Now, the show that Red Sox Nation turns to first. This is Boston's most listened to nightly baseball show, The Baseball Reporters with Tony Maz.
Brought to you by Big Y Grocery Store, T-Mobile, Ron Bouchard's Auto Stores, Integrity from Marvin Windows and Doors, TestTrips.com, Acura of Auburn, Anderson McQuay, Direct Federal Credit Union, AceTicket.com, WFXT-TV, and Mohegan Sun.
On Boston's home for sports, 98.5, The Sports Hub.
High ground ball right to short, and Sean Manaea has no hit the Boston Red Sox. The 26-year-old left-hander was brilliant.
See if Chris is aggressive early in the count. Majority of the time that happens, we're in scoring position late in the game.
Yes, indeed. He smacks it deep. That one's sailing to left, and it is gone. That's a three-run homer. Can't get more aggressive than that. And it is 4-1 Oakland.
So here we go, Jim Murray. What we have now is an official losing streak. An official losing streak. The Red Sox have lost two in a row for the first time this year. 617-779-0985 is the number here. And the Baseball Reporters, Jimmy Stewart, our producer. We can open up the phones right away. We'll take your calls. We have an abbreviated show tonight. Okay, abbreviated show. We're done at 6:30 because the Bruins and the Maple Leafs will be playing Game 6 of their Eastern Conference, Eastern Conference quarterfinal series. Up in Toronto in the Air Canada Center, and certainly our thoughts to the people in Toronto today and tonight as the game goes on, given the tragedy that took place up there today. Horrible story. Many of you know about it at this stage, that someone drove a van into a crowd of people. A number of people were killed. A number of others were injured, and still reports coming in on that story. So, horrible story up in Toronto. Nonetheless, here we do what we always do, and we continue to just move on. 617-779-0985. So just quickly, with regard to these Red Sox losses over the weekend, they're 17-4. It's the first series they've lost all year. Okay, 17-4. Do you realize they were 11-0 when anyone other than Chris Sale and David Price pitches? All four losses have come in games started by Sale and Price. So now after Friday night, you would assume going into the weekend, they had run their record to 17-2. Sale goes Saturday, Price goes Sunday against Oakland. It looked pretty good. They lost them both. Now, I don't know how you feel about the game on Saturday night, but I will tell you up front and point blank, I could not give a rat's ass that they were no-hit. I don't care. It doesn't bother me.
I'm with you on that. I don't know why people were so hot and bothered about it. I know there were some dubious plays that played into the fact that it ended up being a no-hitter. But at the end of the day, like, it doesn't count for extra. You know, like, it's not like you don't take two losses out of it.
Momentum killer.
Okay, big deal. Who cares? That was going to happen whether it was a no-hitter or not. A momentum killer, you lose. Unless you're down 6-0, you rally for 5 in the ninth, and you fall a run short. But more often than not, I've seen this before. When a team is rolling, like the Red Sox are rolling, okay, oftentimes the only way they lose is for someone to come out and pitch an extremely well-pitched game against them. Really. And this was the first, the Red Sox had won, I think it was 16 out of 17 when they showed up, or maybe it was 17 out of 18 when they showed up on Saturday. 17 out of 18. The last time they had a winning streak even or of the same length, 16 out of 17, was 2004. We all know what happened at the end of that season, but what I remember during that stretch is that one of the games they lost was a game where Ted Lilly of the Blue Jays shut him out, pitched 9 innings. It might not have even been a shutout. It might have been a one-run game. But he struck out 13. He completely manhandled them. And it can happen that way. In fact, with a hot team, it almost always happens that way. Someone comes out, finally pitches a great game against them, and that's it. It's over. So, no-hitter? No-hitter? I really couldn't care. The only thing that bugged me about the game Saturday night, and we can debate the calls, you know, there were two plays that were questionable. One was a blooper in a short center field. The shortstop went back on. The ball deflected off his glove. It was ruled a hit. No, it was ruled an error.
Yeah, it
should have been. It probably should have been a hit. I mean, unless a guy is camped under the ball, more often than not, you see that play scored an error. Scored a hit. Good God, I'm getting it all mixed up, Murray. The other one was the Benintendi play at first base, where Benintendi was ruled to have run out of the baseline after he was credited with the single. They reversed the call. They called him out. That was in the sixth inning. So just quickly, your opinion on those two plays, Mari?
Oh, so the one that was the bloop into center, I thought was a hit. That they ruled in an error, I thought was ridiculous. The Benintendi one, that he bitched about it as much as he did after the game, I'm glad that they didn't rule it a hit. Like, shut up, you baby.
Okay, what'd you think in real time?
Oh, I thought it was a hit.
Okay.
So but like, when they slow it down and look at it with stupid replay, I can understand that they reverse the call.
So I think he was out of the baseline. The problem is they never call that. Or they rarely call it. The ball in center field, to me, should have been a hit. They called it an error. But either way, it's not like either ball was hit hard. Like, I sort of look at it and say, what do you really have to bitch about? It's not like the ball was smoked and there was some really egregious call that credited Minaya with the no-hitter. No, they were both sort of borderline plays, and they were both hit softly. So the fact that you didn't get a hit, I wouldn't bitch about it. And since you brought up Benintendi, Murray, here's what he said after the game.
I don't know. I've never seen that call before. Kind of suspect in that situation. No, it sucks. It's a big league hit, and they don't grow on trees. I've never seen that call before. And that, I mean, I think if we have 10 hits at that point, it's a single. The situation that the game was in, and I mean, they might have been searching for something, and they found it.
Okay, it's a big league hit, and they don't grow on trees.
Oh, wow.
Who cares? Is Benintendi think he's going to finish his career with 2,999 hits? Is that the deal? Is that what he's bitching about?
I'll tell you, after I heard all this, I thought it was so unbecoming. And it was, what is this? Like, maybe they're reading too much into their press clippings and their terms of their offense and whatnot. Like, I just thought it was... I don't understand why he cared as much as he did. And he's going to say that about, oh, they don't grow on trees. Like, oh, I'm glad that it happened. I'm glad they got no hit.
Didn't Ortiz complain about how he had, because of the shift, he had 500 hits taken away from him?
Something like that, Jimmy. Yeah, he did. And I didn't like that either. And I didn't like Ortiz breaking into a press conference to about the fact that he wasn't credited with an RBI when he thought he should
have. And I think that's the thing with the whole launch angle thing and all these shifts. Hitters are struggling more. It's swing for the fences or strike out now.
See, but the team is 17-2, and Andrew Benintendi's really, is that what he was really worried about, getting a hit, getting credited for a hit? Because they don't grow on trees. That's what he was really worried about? Like, I hear that, and I just say, shut up. Tip your cap to the other side. The kid pitched a good game, and I say kid. Minaya's 26 years old. But he pitched well, and he was on. He was on. I mean, he was spotting the ball extremely well, particularly with his breaking ball. So he was hard to hit. And you know what? Good for him. He got a couple of breaks, and he got a no-hitter out of it. Fabulous. I had much more of an issue with the game the Red Sox lost yesterday. Yesterday. And frankly, the guy who was sort of in the middle of it, as usual, was the manager. The Red Sox just have not had many close games lately. And the ones they have been in, as always, the manager has to make a decision here or there that inevitably goes one way or the other. And yesterday, boy, did I think that Cora blew it. I'll explain exactly how when we come back.
We have the Sox covered. The Baseball Reporters, 98.5, the Sports Hub. We have the Sox covered. This is the Baseball Reporters. Tony Maserata, show that Red Sox Nation turns to first. 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Didn't get it in far enough. Just didn't make a pitch when I needed to, and that was the ball game.
Talking about the pitch he made to Chris Davis that resulted in a 3-run home run yesterday that decided the game. And I think that this is going to be what Drew in Grafton wants to talk about. It also introduces Alex Cora, so we'll go to Drew right now. Drew, what do you got?
Hey, Tony, how you doing? So what scares me about Cora is they've been pretty much up or behind. You know, the couple times they've lost, they were, you know, down big to the Yanks, and they're up ahead of everyone. But the first game, if you remember, you know, there was obviously decisions that had to be made that impacted the game, and yesterday's game was the same way, and he, like, screwed up on both of them. So this is, you know, this is the only part that you have an impact on the game as a manager, and he's an oafer as far as I'm concerned when the game speeds up on him.
Okay, so which part of yesterday irritated you the most, Drew?
So the fact that he's pitching the opposite side, so he's got a lefty going to righty with two guys on and two outs, like right there. Not to mention it, and you even said it earlier, he's got Carson Smith warm. So why do you have him warm if you're not going to go to him in that situation? And he did the same thing the first game with I think it was Pointer.
Pointer, correct.
And they blew it. And I'm like, so are you outthinking yourself and you don't trust your own instincts because you want to be too much of a buddy-buddy and you can't be, you know, the real manager? Or are you just a buffoon?
So, Drew, I don't think he's a buffoon. And thank you for the call. Okay. In fact, I know he's not a buffoon. Cora was here as a player. He's a smart guy. But he's inexperienced as a game manager. And if I had to guess, he got himself into a spot yesterday where, for whatever reason, he couldn't pull the trigger or didn't want to. Now, look, could just be that he wanted David Price to get the chances at a win. I know Murray theorized that. Others have theorized that. It makes perfect sense. You got a guy on the mound pitching a good game. Pitch count was low. You send him out to the eighth. He gets into a little bit of a jam. You leave him out there. But I would tell you, like you, I'm irritated by it. And I say irritated. It's not the end of the world. It's not going to, it shouldn't cost the Red Sox in the long run. But it was a game that they might have been able to win that he made a decision he shouldn't have made. And honestly, I wouldn't have sent Price out for the eighth at all. And if I had, I would have let him face one batter, Maxwell, who's at the bottom of the order, who's left-handed. To me, that was the play. Then, after that, four right-handed batters, as you mentioned. So again, let's lay all that out. It's 1-1 in the eighth. Price goes back out to the mound, and I think it was the first time he started the eighth inning all year. Again, I know the pitch count was low, but it was the first time he sent him out for the eighth all year. That said, it was a left-handed batter followed by four righties, and I credit Jed Lowrie as a righty because he's better from the right side. So ideally, you want Lowrie to flip around to the left. So he had all of that lined up for Carson Smith, which he knew because when Price went out to start the inning, he had Smith warming, which tells me that if Price had not gotten Maxwell out to start the inning, Carson Smith would have come in the game to face the righties. Okay, Smith was going to come in, but Price got the first guy. So fine, you say you bring him in to face the lefty. As soon as someone gets on, you take him out. It's a 1-1 game. All it takes is one run to blow it. That's it. One run. And you effectively have four right-handed batters lined up. So while Price was facing Maxwell, if you weren't going to bring Carson Smith into the game, why did you have him up? And then at the end of the day, if we're really weighing the judgment, of those four righties that Carson Smith should have faced, he ended up facing none of them. Price faced all four, and he gave up three hits, including a home run. So now even if you go to the Lowrie at bat, ironically, he struck out Lowrie. Watch where the catcher is set up, and watch where the pitches are during the at-bat. Price was missing location. Okay, so he had already given up two hits, and he was missing spots against Jed Lowrie. And Cora left him in. Now, is it the most egregious thing in the world? No. Does Cora deserve to be fired for it? No. But these are the kinds of things that later in the year have to be cleaned up. You can't be making those mistakes with a bullpen that you had warming and an off day today, so you could have used four relievers if you wanted to. There were a number of ways to go there. Let's go to Nick in New Hampshire. Go ahead, Nick.
Hey, Tony. Thanks for taking my call. Love
sure.
The show. Just wanted to, you know, I agree 100%. I mean, that's a mistake by Cora. You get two runners on in the eighth, and Chris Davis comes to the plate. I mean, you got to bring in the righty at that point. There's no reason. I don't care what the pitch count is. There's no reason that David Price should stay in that game to pitch to him. And
well,
sure enough, pitch later.
Yeah, and Nick, and don't hang up. But obviously in that, you know, you got to that point, too. By that point, Price's pitch count had gone from 81 to almost 100. So now he's thrown 15 more pitches, and he's in the middle of a jam. And to me, that was, you know, he never should have gotten that deep into it. Price should not have, and especially with a right-hander up. Now, Smith sat down after the first out of the inning, but he popped right back up again as soon as the first man got on base. Go ahead.
Yeah, he should have been ready to go. I mean, there's no reason Cora should leave him in. He's got to come out and make that move. I mean, it's too late one pitch later. He comes out and makes the move, but now it's a three-run game hits to the ninth. So just a mistake, and he's a rookie manager, so I'm sure he's going to learn from that one, too.
Okay, so again, to me, these are the ones that, on the fly, in the game, these are the ones that are going to worry me with Cora. The bigger picture decisions, like I've heard, you know, I've heard different criticisms of Cora today from the weekend, one of which was that the lineup yesterday with David Price on the mound on a getaway day lacked three starters. Mookie Betts was not in the lineup. Hanley Ramirez was not in the lineup. Eduardo Nunez was not in the lineup. So the game in and of itself feels like a giveaway. And lots of managers do this. On Sundays, they play the B team.
Yeah, but you shouldn't do that when you have David Price starting.
Okay, so I understand the frustration with that, but I'll tell you why it doesn't bother me as much. Because it's long-term managing, and there is a plan there that makes sense. And I actually think Cora has been consistent with this, Murray. Like, if you look at it, he says, we're going to play them all. We're going to keep everybody rested and fresh. We got a deep roster. And so by the end of the year, we will really benefit from it. Okay, I get the logic. And in fact, Friday night, he sat J.D. Martinez. You know who was in the lineup as a result?
It was Mitch Moreland with the Grand Slam.
Who hit a Grand Slam. So it worked. Yeah. It worked Friday night, and none of us bitched about it. Made perfect sense. I'm going to give J.D. Martinez a blow. I'm going to get Moreland in there because Moreland had good matchup numbers. I don't even remember who pitched for Oakland. It was Graveman. Kendall Graveman pitched on Friday night. Moreland had good numbers against Graveman, so he got the start. J.D. sat. Boom. Grand slam. You look at it and say, no, manager was dialed in. He saw an opportunity to get Martinez a night of rest and get Moreland in the lineup and maybe get a favorable matchup at the same time. Smart. Smart. No two ways about it. So the longer-term stuff, I don't have a huge issue with him doing that. Early in the year, they had a million days off. And I thought, do you really have to give all these guys days off? Nonetheless, they started out 17-2. Okay, so he was right. Cora was right in the early part of the year. But then I get to the game stuff, and within a game, that worries me a little more because he doesn't have time to plan all that out. You got to react on the fly. So Cora clearly has shown an ability to look at the schedule and say, Friday night is the night I'm going to give JD the night off. That's the night I'm going to get Moreland in there. And then we're off on Monday, so I'm going to give Hanley Sunday off, so he gets 2 days. Mookie Sunday off, so he gets 2 days. Xander's already out, so no problem there. We'll send him on a rehab this week. And, you know, but had Xander Bogaerts been in the lineup, I bet you he'd have gotten Sunday off too. Okay, I just, you can see how he's managing some of these key guys, which, again, I think is smart. But the in-game stuff? The in-game stuff with Cora is the stuff that you can't plan for. So I go over that situation every time I go over it, I come to the same conclusion. You have four right-handed batters coming up in a 1-1 game in the eighth. The lefty, the leadoff man is a lefty. So you want to let Price face the leadoff man, fine. You even want to let him a pitch until a guy gets on, fine. But he let him face all four right-handed batters with a righty up in the bullpen. He let him face them all. And those four righties went 3-for-4 with a home run. And a decisive home run. So you end up going from a 1-1 situation with Carson Smith available in the bullpen to a 4-1 loss and your first, quote-unquote, losing streak of the year.
Boston's most comprehensive discussion of everything baseball. The Baseball Reporters, 98.5.